I'm going to ask the Honduras team to make their way to the front here. As we are aware of, and wow, they have on uniforms. Well aware that several of us in this body participate in, not communion yet. As we know, several of us are involved in so many different ministries that impact so many different people around the globe, including our local community and our international community. We just had a team come back from Guyana, South America, a few weeks ago, and the Honduras team came back, went in April to visit Honduras. So I'm gonna give the way to Joe. Do you have the clicker? And Joe's going to lead this team's expression. Speaking of mic.
Can I take the mic down?
Yes.
You guys want to sit up here? People can see you.
Okay, good morning. Okay, so like Dion said, it was actually in June, 13 of us went for 10 days to Honduras with a lot of your support, and we want to share with you what we did. Most everybody's going to share a little bit about something on this trip that touched them. Everybody got to pick what they talked about. So anyway, this house here is the second house that we built. It's in a village called Nuevo Oriental of 2,000-4,000 people that, as you're going to hear, really, this was a big part of our trip, was spending time in this village with the people there. You can see that the family that we built the house for is in the front, and most of us are in the back. All right, I'll get the button thing figured out sooner or later. Okay, Dion, or which one is the advance? The big one is advance. Okay. After we arrived, the first day we arrived, we went straight up to the village of Santa Ana, where the Casa de Esperanza Children's Home is. And this is the children's home that you've heard so much about through the years. About 25 wonderful, cute kids. But you know what? They come from families that are destroyed by extreme poverty, abuse, and abandonment. And then through the hand of God, they end up in this Christian children's home. And so we got to spend time with them on several occasions. So this girl in the green, her name is Anna. She's my friend there. And so we've kind of got a tradition that when we get together, we have a foot race around the grounds of Casa de Esperanza. And so I think I gave her, a 5-second head start. Never caught up. So I guess I should be learning. Well, Anna's getting older, and I'm getting older, and she's not getting a head start next time. And there's Allison and Anna picking on me with a squirt gun. Okay, 2 days later, you know, we in the village of Santa Ana, right there where the Casa de Esperanza Children's Home is, there's also a Church of Christ. And so, you know, Santa Ana is a very cute village. But you know what? There is a lot of poverty there because there's so few jobs. So few jobs throughout Honduras, but especially out of the cities in the villages. So we decided, well, let's connect our youth group with their youth group. And so we loaded up in a little bus and, I don't know, took 20 or so of the kids from the youth group. And we went down to the city and we went to a Chinese restaurant, ate Chinese food, and then we played soccer for a couple hours, the Hondurans against the gringos. We had some help, and I think we won 10-9 or 9-8 or something like that. So anyway, afterwards, you know, they said no one has done this kind of thing, anything like this with them for at least 2 or 3 years. And there's the lady that's standing between Nova and Darlene. She's the wife of, I guess you call him the youth minister. And she got in the bus and came the day we left. She came all the way to the airport to see us off. So you know, I think this connection meant a lot to them. Okay, Cindy.
Okay, I was honored to be a part of such an incredible mission team and to have met really great people in Honduras, their families, friends that we met, and kids. On our second day that we were there, we went to the market downtown and we bought lots of fruits and vegetables that we were going to take to a very poor community. The children of this community impressed me to no end. Many of them lived in shacks on the hillside. They had no running water or electricity. As we set our food tables up, the kids all came in to kind of watch us, and they just sat on a bench quietly. We know they were probably really hungry, but they didn't jump up and scream or, you know, say that they wanted anything. They just sat there and watched us quietly, and they were really pretty young kids that were in there watching us. We served all the food until we ran out. And then Kent had the foresight to bring along some of the toys and supplies that we had brought with us to Honduras, and so we started handing those out to the kids. They were very joyous and happy for anything they got, whether it was a pack of gum or a yo-yo or some markers. Those same yo-yos I hand out in my elementary classes here. But what I usually get in response is, do you have another collar? Or can I trade this for something else? But however, the Honduran children were very grateful. They had huge smiles, and you could tell that they treasured it every time we gave them something. It broke my heart when we ran out, and I had to say over and over again, no más, lo siento. No more, I'm sorry. No matter the circumstances, we clearly witnessed God and their little smiles, their love, and their gratitude. The picture here shows some of the children that we were blessed by. The little guy over here is holding his pack of gum. The little girl sitting right beside Rylan has some markers, and she was making some pictures. She didn't make them for herself to take home. She just made some for Rylan and asked Rylan to take them home with her. We also met another little boy, Hector, and he gave Rylan and I little rings that he had. And again, they have nothing, but they're willing to give everything. It was a very humbling experience, and I'm glad for the opportunity to have gone. And I really appreciate the Boers making it happen and each of the team members for their selfless example of revealing God to others.
Okay, one of the coolest things I thought... Okay. You could just play it. Okay, so what you just saw was how I made a friend in Honduras, and that was probably the coolest thing I found, was finding ways to break the language barrier, because I was very bad at speaking Spanish, and they couldn't speak English. So one of the first days after passing out food, this little girl named Damaris came up to me. She held up her hands like this, and she said, double, double, this, this, double, double, that, that. And it was really cool because I happened to know that same handshake. So we became friends just over something simple like that. And then throughout the next few days, we would just like walk around and we would point at things. And I would say what it was in English and she would say what it was in Spanish. And that's how we'd communicate and create this great friendship. So that's pretty much all I have to say.
Buenos dias, mi amigos de Honduras. No, it's not going to be in Spanish. I don't speak that well. But as Gene always says, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So this is my first time to Honduras, although I've gone to Guyana. But I really enjoyed this. This was different than what we did. I enjoyed all the blind schools and the houses that we got to build, and the Hope Centers, and et cetera. But one of the things I want to talk to you about is the food drive. Is this the food? Oh, okay. Well, we went in this little building, and it's like a block building. And so we had everybody go in one door, and then there's these long tables. So they have these big old garbage bags, and then the tables had humongous food pieces on them. You know, if you see our little sweet potatoes and stuff, theirs were huge. Everything was just huge. So the people were the joy that you saw on their faces grabbing those pieces of all the foods that they got was amazing. And as they went to the end of the table, we started doing hand printing on pillowcases, which is something that I took so that, you know, the little children would have something to remember and take home. And they could put their handprints on it and Helping Hands of Jesus or whatever they wanted to write on it. It was quite an experience because, unlike my times, they don't speak my language. So I was really grateful for Joel. When he finally came over and started helping me, it went much smoother. But it all reminds me of James 1:27, where it says, you know, the Father's perfect, flawless religion for us, it would be, what did it say? Maybe I should look at it. look to feeding the orphans and the widows and their distress. And I think you can see that we did a lot of this and many of the different things that we did. It just really broke my heart, you know, when we had to leave, the crying that went on and all. It was amazing. I would go back in a heartbeat one day. Greg and I hope to go back in a few years. So anybody that is able to support the work, I would give it 100%. And thank you for my chance of going.
All right, so on the fourth day we were there, we set off to build our first house as a group. And we built a house for a young woman and her 3-year-old daughter. And they were, like, originally living next door in, like, a building with their entire family, with, like, 10 to 15 people living there with them. And it was just too crowded for all of them to live in such a small place. When we first got to the site where we were going to build, we had to build, like, 4 deep potholes for, like, the beams of the corners of the house to be built. And it took a long time because the ground was really rocky and hard, but we all worked so well together. And we took turns, and whenever we got tired, we just switched off and the next person would take over. After all the holes were dug, all the lumber for the house was delivered in a truck. And they opened the back of the truck and there was a lot of wood to be taken out and placed where we were going to build. And right away, we all got to work on unloading it. We were all working, and I looked over, and there was kids walking in the street in front of us, going down to their bus stop. They all had their uniforms and book bags on. And a few of them walked by, and they were just watching us as we were working. And the next thing I know, there's about 8 boys that came over. They just put down their book bags and started helping us unload all the trucks. And it was just amazing to see these young kids willing to help, even without them being asked to. The job wasn't easy because the wood got rained on the night before and it was just heavy, but they didn't complain at all. And it just makes me think of a lot of kids in America would just have kept on walking or thinking it was too hard, wanting to listen to their iPods, but these kids stopped without even being asked to, and they just gave what they had a helping hand. I'm just really glad I got to go on the mission trip, and I realize how lucky I am to have everything I do. And it was a great feeling to help others, and I hope I can continue the service here at home.
Okay, this is the second house that we built. This is the picture with me and my dad right before we started actually putting the wood up. This was a more challenging home to build because it was a small section of a town. So we had little room to build it and little room to work around. And the holes were a lot easier here than they were the first house. This was definitely my favorite part of Honduras because it was my second house that I built and I knew what I was doing this time, not the first time. It was a lot of fun building with the home because of the interns that helped us and all the people that did help us. One of the experience of this house was that I got to build a second one because it was one of my things that I love to do is building houses, and it was a pretty new experience for me, but I liked it a lot. So yeah.
All right, so I think it was Tuesday, Monday? What day was it? Tuesday that we went to Hospital Escuela, and it was unlike any hospital I've ever been to. It's not like Children's Hospital. There were people everywhere, and it was just kind of dirty and not good, not a good place to stay. But there were kids that had stayed there for like months and weeks. And so we brought two big suitcases full of toys and gum and things for them. And we passed them out to almost every kid that was in there. And we went into the newborns area and we passed out baby blankets to every single baby that was in there. And none of the babies had that. And they were just so grateful. Like every person was grateful. The parents were so happy that their kids were having something. And after we were done with that, we went back outside, and Mark Tyndall had brought pizzas, like 30 pizzas, for us to pass out, like a slice to every single kid that was in there. And it was just really cool seeing how happy they were and how they responded to that. So that was cool. And next, we went to the School for the Blind, and as soon as we got there, the kids were getting out of class, and they came and just jumped all over us, and they were so happy to see us, like, be with us. And this little kid and I, we played soccer together, and he was visually impaired, but he still kind of kicked my butt. And it was just really cool, and after we were done playing with them, we went into a room, and they sang for us, and it was just a really cool experience. So, next.
My first experience with Honduras was Barb and Joel were going to leave the country, and Ken, Lou, and I watch two little girls. And we were excited to do that. I think they were maybe 2 and 5 at the time. And at that point, I said, I want to live long enough and be healthy enough that I get to go on the trip. And this year, I got to go with my two oldest granddaughters, Francie and Allison, and enjoy the efforts that we all put out together. I was particularly impressed the day that we made the trip to the dump. The Honduras Hope Mission sends huge containers of rice and beans and tortillas and takes bags of fresh water. You know, we're used to seeing bottles of water. These look like sandwich-sized bags nearly, but the water is sealed into them, and you can just bite off a corner and fresh water. And we took water to these people whose jobs are in the dump, and they collect what they can to either use or resell. There was a young man sitting off to the side with his huge stack of cardboard, and he did not get up to walk to get food from the truck where they were passing it out. I'm sure he was afraid someone would steal his effort for the day, and that's what he planned, you know, to gain some help for his family. Joel and Mark had tried to prepare us after Devo each evening for the next day's activities, and there wasn't really any way that they could truly tell us what this would be about. The smell was overpowering, and you hold your breath for a while, and then you have to breathe. The sights were of cattle foraging in what's coming off of the trucks, of vultures picking around, of people digging through stuff, trying to find things, of the muck and the ooze coming up through their shoes. And we had been cautioned to make sure we wore something that would protect our feet. And then I think we're so concerned by antibiotic soaps and all these things, they're probably stronger and healthier than we are because their bodies have learned to fight all that off. I wonder what those people do on days that the Honduras Hope Group doesn't come with food, and where do they get something to eat? Where do they get clean water? We had been told that they would ask us for what we have, and Barbara had a beautiful blue bandana on, and she had a couple others in her pocket, I think, and some of the kids asked for those. Allison gave her shoes to a young pregnant woman. Francie ended up giving her shoes away. Emily gave shoes away. I don't know how many others. Barbara got on the bus, passed her shoes back out to people because they didn't have. Those people that live there have a great trust in Mark. And the team that come, they're very protective of him. They look to him for guidance, and he is showing God's love in that awful situation. We got to go back and take showers and put on clean clothes. And you kind of wonder about those people. When did they last get to wear clean clothes? When did they last get to have a shower? But you know, God doesn't love them any more or any less than he loves us. And he promised a place for us. He promised a place for them. And what joy it must give their hearts to think about what can be in their future. I'll go again.
The same day that we went to the hospital and to the school for the blind, we went on to a place called Mi Esperanza, which is Spanish for my hope, the women of my hope. Their mission is that they're a nonprofit organization dedicated to the educational, financial, and spiritual development of the women who live in extreme poverty. And their goal is to break the cycle of poverty. They want to teach skills that will help women find ways to help support their families, because unfortunately, oftentimes the men are absent or unwilling to help provide food for the children, provide places to live, etc. I had visited Mi Esperanza in earlier trips and actually got my first pedicure ever in my life at Mi Esperanza, because the women in 2006 and 2007 needed to practice. So they charged us $2.50 to practice their skills of giving manicures and pedicures. They have a salon school there. They have a computer classes they provide. They do business classes. They have sewing classes, and they're working on training to help lift these women out of poverty and to remind them that God loves them and that we love them. Recently, they moved to a different location because even the cost, which was about 30 cents to take the bus to and from the training classes, was too much for some women to get there. So they moved to a more central location that's on one of the main bus lines to make it easier for the women to get there. And it's a beautiful facility that they share with other places. But in the pictures, you can see Francie by a mural in the salon school. And then they have different stations where they practice their skills and are taught beauty skills. They have a sewing class with a lot of sewing machines that we haven't seen in a while. But they create bags and purses and other things in the classes. And then they sell them in a store that we also got to visit, where they sell T-shirts and jewelry and other things that have been made there, and all the profits go to supporting the women and supporting the training. They also have a website, and I think we're going to share some information in the bulletin in the weeks to come about ways that you could support. And so if you want to buy a beautiful bag that's been made in Honduras, all the profits go back to the Women of My Hope at Mi Esperanza. As a mom, it really affected me to see the plight of the women there. That how do they feed their children? We stand in our pantry, and I hear my kids say, "There's nothing to eat, and there's nothing in here I want." But we can't put all our food away in an organized manner, so it's a mess because we have so many choices. And when I think of getting up in the morning and not knowing how I'm going to feed my children for that day or for the next meal, It's hard to fathom. And so to see that there is a group working to help support the families, and by supporting the women, they support the children and showing them God's love, it makes me grateful for the healthy, strong children that I have and all the opportunities that we can provide for them. So we were more than happy to tour the facility. I think we all came back with shirts and jewelry and bags and things like that, that we can carry around as a reminder of what they're trying to do there and what we have been blessed with.
All right. Buenos dias. Buenos dias. There you go. Meet Tatiana. Hola, Tatiana. Te extraño. She is from the Didasco Children's Home that we got to visit towards the end, last few days. And they represent some kids, that, as Joel mentioned, similar to the Casa de Esperanza, that have a unique and different background and a different story, each and every child. The one thing they have in common is they don't have a parent. And there's a point in time here at Didasco. That night, we were watching Finding Nemo, and
it was in Espanol with English subtitles, which that was pretty wild. That was because I love that movie. And I probably learned most of my Spanish from that hour and a half, just trying to figure that out. There was a point in time, and I'm going to try to paint a picture for you because it's really important. At least it was one of the lessons for me. So if you're picturing you're in a dark room, you see the projector up there, so the light is reflecting back. I'm sitting toward the back. All of our team is kind of mixed in with all the kids, and so you can kind of see everyone's reflection on their face. And there was a point in time during that that it had been a year since, literally that night, it had been a year since my father had passed away, and it's not a day that goes by I don't miss him. And there was, during that movie, all these memories of my dad was racing through my head. And I got to look over real quick, and I saw Tatiana there, and she was kind of waving at me. And it was that instant that the Holy Spirit was just kind of like, almost like waking me up, saying, Kent, wake up. You've got all these memories of your dad that have shaped your life, and it said some of these kids don't. Why don't you put yourself in a position to make a memory for one of these kids? And so, anyways, at that point in time, Tatiana and I were pretty close. And I got to read a book to her that night. And of course, my Spanish was not too good. She thought that was very funny as I'm reading a Spanish book. And the irony of that is so thick because when I used to read books to Mark and Josh, sometimes I would purposely mispronounce the words just to get them laughing, you know, and they would always giggle. Well, for her, I was mispronouncing just about every word. And she just thought that was funny. And before I knew it, she was fast asleep in my arms. And so I got to tuck her in that night and put her to bed. And it was really, really, really cool. I've got two personal goals in my life. I've got more than that, but two primary ones where every day I like to learn something new. And two, every day I like to laugh really, really hard. I'm not talking about just the regular laugh, just something that makes you really laugh really hard. What I learned was, and what I shared about sometimes we have to take the emotion that we're feeling right now and redirect that outwards and reflect on who else do we need to be helping, which was pretty much the theme of this trip. And number two, about laughter. I've always said, you haven't really learned how to laugh till you've learned how to laugh at yourself. And I also learned that you haven't really learned how to giggle until you've allowed a 7-year-old girl to paint your nails. And so if you look in the picture, you can't really tell, but my third finger's got paint from Tatiana. And I miss her and I miss all those kids there. It was a really awesome experience. And to Joel and Barb, buen trabajo. Excellent. Very, very nice job and thank you. And here's Don.
Thanks. You know, the whole trip was a really moving experience. And I mean, throughout the 9 days, I really felt the presence of God moving around me. And through different images repeating and being repeated in my head, I didn't really fully understand what I was supposed to get out of this. Until the last couple of days of the trip, I think it really became clearer to me on what I was to learn from the trip that we were on. The first picture up top, each night back at base camp, there was a devotional going on. And this is the devotional group with some of the other teams that were in camp with us. And the night before our second building house trip, Barb raises the question, what do we do after this, or what's next? And there was various suggestions. One of the comments that was made is, be the church. And that really affected me. It just resonated with me, because in the past, I've heard, we are the church. It's really a pronoun. Be the church is really a verb, a helping verb, and it calls for action. So that really started to make an impact on me. The next day, when we were building a house, I called for Emily, And who answers my Emily call is this little girl over here in this picture. And her name's Emily. Well, when we get to talking to her, she has a brother named Michael, who's also in the picture. So how cool is that, that we've got a Honduras brother and sister combination with the same names as my kids? So you can take it at face value, or you can meditate on that and reflect on it. And I think really what I'm being told is that these kids could be mine. These kids are mine. We're all family. The next picture, the next day, really one of my last service projects is we're asked to paint a chapel. And it's a small chapel. It's right here in the middle. We start out with just yellow paint, and we're just going to paint the walls. Throughout the experience, white paint shows up, and then sort of red trim paint shows up. It doesn't show up very well in this picture. But I'm sitting there doing all the trim work, or a lot of the trim work, and we don't have a lot of tools. I'm finding myself wiping paint off on my shirt. Then I look down, and that red really reminds me of blood. And I can't help but think that we're all covered with Jesus' blood. The more that we wind up doing service, the more visible Jesus becomes. The red was very reminiscent of the red that's on the cross that Dean's painted. The last picture down here in the corner, this was the day that we were going to church. I like this picture because the church building isn't really in the picture that much, but the church is the people, and through the work that we've done, and the actions that were taken, we were exhibiting being the church. And as I told this group, and I shared a lot of other images on our trip home, that through their work that they were doing, I got to experience God and see God. So, and I wasn't the one that was being affected by it. I mean, I have no doubt that the people that we were serving got to see it as well. So there's four things that really I take from the church or from this trip is one, you know, be the church. Doesn't matter. You can be 14. You can be 83. You can be male. You can be female. Doesn't matter what denomination we are. Just be the church. Second thing is I've learned to be, I need to be reflective on what's going on around me. God's out there, but I get bogged down in day-to-day stuff. I don't reflect, and I'm missing it. So, you know, there's important of being reflective on what we're doing. As Rick said, you know, meditate. The third thing is that I took on the trip is lives were impacted and people were blessed, both within the group and outside the group. The fourth thing that I really came to appreciate is foreign mission work. You know, before I went on the trip, I really didn't understand why I've got to travel 1,800 miles to minister to people. What I think I start to understand is the difference is society barriers that we have in place. We can't. We teach kids not to run up to adults, hug on them. We teach adults that, hey, if you hug on a kid, you might be a pedophile. You know, there's real need out there. We don't have access to walk into schools to minister to people. It can be done, and it should be done in both of them. But to make a quick, easy impact. I mean, farm ministry is very, very, very important and very rewarding. I mean, the last thing is that I didn't find myself questioning whether or not these people are in need, because they have needs. Everything that is everything they have is really just the basic necessities of life: food and water, and some shelter that they struggle for. So, I appreciate the church's support, the family's support for sending us on the trip. So, that's it. Thanks.
Well, hello. For me, it was a great experience because it reminded me a lot about Colombia. Like, I know that Honduras is a lot more poor than Colombia is, but, like, my favorite part was when me, Rylan, Don, and Cindy were going in a truck with Dorian. And then we thought we were going to go home and just relax and rest for the next day. But instead, we went and helped build another house. Me and Rylan went in the back of the truck without food. We didn't have food, water, or anything. So Don gave us some food to eat. And that was really great. Also, seeing how some people lived in the streets reminded me so much of Colombia, how I used to live in the streets, and how me and my sister had to fight to get food. That was really sad. And it reminded me just so much of Colombia, seeing all the people there and being there.
All right, well, thank you guys so much, and thank you all for letting us share this great trip with you. So thank you.